On this episode of Deep Thrones, we review the Season 2 House of the Dragon teaser trailer. We break down, scene by scene, what we saw. We make our Season 2 House of the Dragon predictions. And please be sure to follow Deep Thrones Pod on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. Winter is here.
Welcome back to Deep Thrones.
Oh my god, we're here.
We are back after a year.
What year is it? Where are we?
I don't even know at this point.
Oh my god, it's 2023, guys, and Chris, he said it himself, a year, a whole year we've been off. Our lives are much more different than they were last time.
There are some major life changes for sure.
But don't worry, it's the same old Deep Thrones. It's the same old DT Pod. We're bringing it in. We're as excited as you guys are for 2024 and House of the Dragon and Dunkin' Egg.
But Dunkin' Egg,
is going to be a different story at some point. Today we are going to be discussing the Season 2 teaser trailer for House of the Dragon that just dropped. But before we get there, what's new, man?
I mean, the obvious answer is we have a new addition to the Sims family.
To the Sims family and the Deep Thrones family at large.
At large, we had a beautiful baby girl in July.
She's the best.
Wow,
just a little
you.
Little angelic baby.
It's a little nugget, but yeah, it's been cool. Finally a dad on the pod.
I know.
Well,
oh my god.
You know,
you've been a dad since day one.
There's been some alleged action before, Daddy. But nothing proven from either side.
We'll cut that. Yeah, we'll cut that.
Regardless, it's awesome being a father. Didn't think that when we started the pod, this wasn't even on mind. So
oh no, when we started the pod, I couldn't even get you to show up for tapings on time because you were just outraging the night before.
That's still a work in progress. Yeah, showing up on time.
That's tough. This morning, did you get McDonald's breakfast? Weren't you supposed to?
Listen, don't ask questions.
Did you eat it in the car?
To know the answer to.
What's
new in your life? What's going on?
Nothing at all. No, work's going well. At the end of last season, we saw that I graduated, which was big.
That's dope. Yeah. Also, promotion recently.
Coming up, which is nice. I gained 40 pounds and then lost 40 pounds.
Just bulking and cutting?
Bulking and cutting, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's funny, the transition to remote work, I think, was the big part of it. Because I would do remote work, and then we'd play Call of Duty for like 3 hours after work.
You know, my employers don't...
This was old. This was years ago. This is years ago.
I go in office now, so...
It'd be tough to play Call of Duty at office. It'd be tough. In the spring, Westeros stories are coming. We've been pitching that a lot. You'll have a better understanding of what those are like come 2024. We're just excited. We're excited to be back talking right now. We got pretty hyped yesterday.
We got pretty hyped, and then by the time I sat down on this couch, I'm like, I might be a little rusty. So
I was nervous. He was worried about being rusty. I think we're fine.
I think we're Gucci.
And I will say this, guys. We're excited. We were texting back and forth yesterday about the trailer. Lots of excitement, but we're going to be realistic. We're going to deliver the information as best we see it. Overall, trailer visually quite stunning. Some things that we're excited about. Some things we have questions, I think, about. But
yeah, questions. Maybe some concerns. I will say at this point as well. Actually, let me backtrack a second. In 24, we'll also be getting production updates from Dunkin' Egg.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny to think that we pretty much had a year off. And then 24 and beyond, there's a real possibility that we'll have a spring and summer session.
I know. There's a pretty decent chance that in 2025, we get Dunkin' Egg Season 1 in the spring. And then House of the Dragon Season 3 in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be... You guys are going to be so annoyed with us. You're going to be getting so much of us.
You're going to get double doses.
Double doses of Deep Thrones.
So now, fast forwarding once again, we are going to review the Season 2 trailer that just dropped yesterday.
Ooh.
However, there are heavy spoilers.
Heavy spoilers. Listen, we are going to get into what these mean. We won't, I don't think we'll go down exactly what's going to happen, but we're going to say, like, this is what leads to this. So if you don't want to hear that at all, keep listening, but don't get mad at us.
And we'll try to
try to alleviate the spoilers as much as we can.
And I will, if there is going to be like a glaring spoiler, I will let you know. Like, hey, don't listen for the next 15 seconds or something like that.
Fast forward.
Yeah.
Rewind and mute.
Exactly.
Kind of thing. But Chris went through painstakingly yesterday, each scene by scene, clip by clip. We'll deliver it to you right now. You want to get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so the trailer starts, of course, and Rhaenyra is overlooking, it looks like she's overlooking Storm's End. Pretty sad.
It appears to be Storm's End, and she's very distraught looking, which makes sense, right? Where we left off in episode 10 of last season, Luke had just tragically been murdered by Aemon and Vhagar over Storm's End.
It was the equivalent of a car accident.
Well, you
know, accidents happen. It's a dragon accident.
It's a dragon accident. And so, yeah, so she's visibly upset. Obviously, her son died, and if there's one thing we know about Rhaenyra, it's that she's very family centric. So
she's visiting, in a sense. She's visiting his gravesite, in a sense. She's there to see where her son died, and she looks pretty crusty.
And it'll be interesting to see if she actually engages then with the Baratheons, or if it's more so just I'm in disbelief and I want to go see this for myself.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I agree with. And then we see just a bunch of sort of people are getting in line, right? Daemon is obviously taking off, most likely to go to the Riverlands, right? We see a Black War Council. We see Daemon beheading an unknown person. Sort of take toll of all that.
Yeah. So Luke's death is going to really accelerate. Where we left off in last season, we saw that things were probably heading toward war, but there wasn't any blood spilt yet, really. However, once Luke dies, everything's going to accelerate at a very fast pace. We're not going to see any more time jumps in the next season, so I know a lot of people will be happy about that. That doesn't mean by any stretch of the imagination that the action is going to slow down. The pace that we're going to see in season two is going to be bang, bang, bang. Daemon's taken off to the Riverlands, probably in episode one. Which, you know, he's going there with fire and blood. And the Blacks are just assembling everyone. We'll start seeing, you know, Valyrian fleet get involved.
Hyped about that.
That'll be cool. We also start seeing some of the younger characters on the Black side going out and having their own kind of storylines. Toward the end of the trailer, we do see Baela appearing to be in air-to-air combat with someone.
And she looks distraught. And she's screaming.
Yeah.
She's
going hard in the paint. It looks like there's some high stakes going on there.
You know, two things I just want to say really quick. Mm-hmm. Daemon, something about, like, the trailer that's interesting is he looks even more unhinged than normal.
Yeah.
He looks like, and we talked about it on the pod, like, we talked about it last year being like Franz Ferdinand almost. It's like the powder keg. Like there was all that tension, right? It was like, but they just needed that one thing. And Luke's, you know, being killed, obviously Rhaenyra now feels more justified in her pursuit. But for Daemon, it's like war crimes all over. He's just like, it's free real estate.
You know, he's always had that dog in him. The thing with Daemon is I feel like he's always wanted to be on the throne or just at war in general.
Yeah, he's chaotic.
And now, like, I don't even know that he cared that much about Luke, per se.
I'm glad you said it, because I was almost going to. He's kind of like Robert Baratheon in that sense. He wants to just constantly be mixing it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And another thing I'll say is what you said is that season two promises to be chaotic and quick. And I agree. I think people who had issues with the first season being kind of slow or jumpy, I think season two, and I hate to make this comparison, but season 8 of Game of Thrones. Now, they can execute it better, and we have faith and hope that Ryan Condal will. But season 2 is going to be just an absolute kickstart your heart scenario.
It has potential to be one of the best seasons, at least like cinematically and pace of action-wise, that we've seen, even including Game of Thrones.
Definitely, definitely.
So it has that potential. The execution is going to be interesting to see, but it definitely has that potential. And you know, Jace, the oldest son of Rhaenyra, is taken off to Winterfell,
right?
So the whole idea is he's going to try to get people on the Black side. We do see a quick scene where there's some Northmen. It looks like Night's Watch. Maybe
we're skeptical about this one, the Night's Watch.
We don't want
White Walkers.
We're over the White Walkers. The way that it ended in season 8, you know, you have literally 8 seasons of build up, and then for it to end in like one episode, that was
This is what I'll say. if the season is great and they shoehorn in White Walkers, is it going to ruin the show for me? No, it's not. I will be like, okay, it's kind of fan servicey, but they're not needed for this story. If Jace goes north and meets Craigan Stark, and then there's a cut, you know, and Craigan's telling him, like, you know, we have our own troubles in the north that we worry about, and there's a cut to the Night's Watch, and they see something kind of White Walker-ish, but it doesn't come up in Jace's world, I'm fine with that. Whatever. It's shoehorned.
Yes.
But they're definitely visiting the wall, because, like, we follow the dirt sheets a little bit online, and they definitely built a wall set, it looked like, from drone footage.
Yeah. And there was also that photo of the undead.
The makeup quotes. Undead on the makeup wall. So, you know, and, you know, there were some theories that maybe they're just doing that for dead characters in general.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, we hold the right to say it's trash that they did it, and we also hold the right to go, nah, all right, whatever.
There is a correct way to kind of work
the
White Walker, like, threat in.
Yeah.
But I don't want it to ever come close to being in, like, a major part of the story.
No, yeah, it has to be a small... If it's a small fan service part, it's not necessary at all. We'll say so on the pod, but whatever.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt for now, but we'll see how that plays out. And then another interesting part before we move on to the greens in the trailer, there were some scenes with Rhaenyra and Syrax and... who appeared to be Adam of Hull.
Yeah, he looked very similar. Yeah.
So spoiler alert here, you probably fast forward for 15 to 30 seconds. I'd probably say 30 seconds to be safe, and you could always go back. Adam of Hull is an alleged bastard son of Corlys Velaryon, and he comes in and trains Sea Smoke to be his dragon and ends up ultimately being on the black side. But there is a scene in the trailer where Rhaenyra and Syrax are staring down another person in their dragon. From our perspective, it looked like it would be Adam of Hull in Sea Smoke. However, it could be some other players. It was a very quick cutscene, but any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see Adam of Hull. I think that I did not know that he was supposed to be Corlys's bastard. Is Corlys one of those guys who'd have some bastards, you think? Or is he Ned's... I considered him like a Ned Stark in my head, but...
You know, Corlys went on nine voyages across the sea where he made
It's lonely on the open ocean.
You know? I mean...
It gets lonely out there, I see.
You're out there for a long time.
That's true. You can only... You know, so many fish. Bringing it back.
Bring back
Call
the
back
fish
to
fires.
Episode one. Hey. But yeah, interesting. And he is played by an African-American character, so it does play to the credence that it could be Corlys's bastard. They obviously did a great job with the casting. Mm-hmm. Excited to see Adam of Hull. Excited to see these characters. And we saw some more characters, too, that we were like, who's that guy? Who's that guy? Who's this guy?
We did, yeah. And we'll get to those in a second. I do want to just briefly hit on Corlys Velaryon. We didn't see much of him in this trailer.
We didn't. We speculated as to why off the air. I think we'll leave it
off the air.
But not a lot of Corlys, and we're not, and that's not a spoiler either. Us saying that, it's just because we had a conversation about why that probably was, and it's not a spoiler in that sense. But he also will be most likely gathering his host and his fleet, and I hope we do see some because the Triarchy's resurgent.
Yes,
they're going to play back into it. Otto is probably going to do some underhanded dealings, and it's going to be Corlys's job to cut off King's Landing from the outside world.
That's a great segue, mentioning Otto Hightower.
To the greens.
So.
Okay, I just want to say, you wrote Allison addressing Laris, and then in quotes, feetfinder.com.
I mean, that's listen, I mean, you know those toesies were about to come out in that scene.
Oh, yeah, she's listen, you got to hustle to get that info. I just think that as a podcast, we should be a little bit more professional. We can talk about this off the air.
You think you that to, we should be a little more professional?
You need to clean it up a little bit. This is our personal notes for the pod. I don't need this. I don't need this bullshit right now.
It is.
I'm hanging on by a goddamn thread.
It is interesting, though, because to an untrained eye, you don't even know that in that quick cutscene that Allison speaking to Laris.
I thought she was talking to Otto, and then you're like, yeah, but you can see the little, his cane.
His little cane.
And it was great. Chris, I can't speak highly enough yesterday about you dissecting these scenes. He literally was like breaking them down, like those scenes in a movie when they're in the library with a microfiche machine, you know, looking at like the old news. That was you. You had like a microscope. You were like, let's see what this is all about. It was well done.
I was getting into the weeds. It took me a long time to post what I thought was a reaction video, and apparently, allegedly it's not.
Quick shout out to Kinsey. Thank you for TikTok. Has been awesome.
Kinsey, the third member of our pod.
Third member of our pod, but some, you know, see, tone it down a little bit. Just remember, we're your employers. This is the way sometimes, you know, the boomer jokes, it hurts a little bit. I'm not gonna lie, I felt a little bad.
I called myself a boomer first in her defense.
Gotcha. Okay. So, all right. I take it back, Kinsey.
I do not have a TikTok, so that's kind of boomer-esque.
It is boomer-esque, but it's good. You don't need one.
There's enough social media habit.
Yeah.
And you see the reels on Instagram anyway, so it's...
No, just kidding, Kinsey. You're doing absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for that. That actually was hilarious. I was cracking up watching that video because I was like, we did mess this up.
So what else is going down with the greens in the trailer?
Kristen Cole is beheading someone. Obviously, it's a supporter of Rhaenyra to some degree.
Yes. So, quick spoiler alert. So, give this one 15 seconds. There are a couple people that Kristen Cole could be beheading here.
Yeah.
My guess is that it's Lord Rosby, just because we did identify some sigils throughout the trailer that involved Rosby. So,
yeah.
That's the leading candidate right now.
Yeah, him and Daemon both, it looks like, are doing their own beheadings. I wonder if those will be in like the same scene. If it'd be cool if they mirrored them, like them both beheading traitors.
They love juxtaposition.
They do. Oh, God. Flashbacks of me trying to say that word on the pod. Aemon has a scene before an empty Iron Throne. They're really playing it up that he sees himself as the better king.
It's almost like a Daemon Viserys kind of vibe there.
Yeah.
Right? Like the younger brother feels like they're a more fit king than the older
definitely one. Definitely. And he probably would be, I guess.
I think Aemon would be a better king than Aegon would be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that Daemon would have been a better king than Viserys.
Agreed. Rhaenys over Viserys?
Yes.
Yeah, 100%. All right. Yeah. And then we get two different shots of a distraught Helaena. The first shot looks like she's almost looking up at the sky, almost maybe a little soot on her face. She witnessed some
there's
dragon
something
action,
going on
maybe.
There.
Fire and or blood. And speaking of blood, in the next Helaena scene, this is heavy, heavy spoilers. We don't need to get too deep into it, but blood and cheese potentially make an appearance, and it looks like she is being held at knife point.
Held at knife point. This is, yeah. There's gonna be a lot of very uncouth family to family, and they talk about it in the trailer. Like
Rhaenys.
as the scenes are going,
there's no war.
Over.
So the gods are view unfavorably as a war against kin, something like that.
Yeah, so it's gonna get ugly, and there's gonna be some more very cringy type scenes that we should expect in season two.
Except, I just want to quickly correct you. It's not going to be ugly when Allison's on scene.
Well,
it's going to be gorgeous. Flawless, beautiful. Her in that white gown, like looking out over the water.
That was one part
of
the trailer that I have no reference on out of all the material that
I've
read.
To have a reference on it. I'll tell you that much. To have a real good reference on it.
You only got to wait about 5 months.
I know. 5 months, we'll have some reference
on it.
You'll
get some reference.
As Chris said, this season becomes... I would say this season becomes easier to pick a side. Because the first season, it being a Greens fan was tough. Next season, though, both sides will do some things where you're like, oh.
There's a lot of atrocities. A lot of atrocities.
And then Allison looks like she's in the middle of King's Landing, walking down the same street where I think Joffrey got the cow pie thrown at him. That's that street if you're royal. What are you doing?
Some things.
Stay in the keep. Stay in Maegor's Holdfast. I would never. Would you ever leave Maegor's Holdfast?
Well, if I was like popular with the people, I would all the time.
You wouldn't be. You wouldn't be. You'd be a dictator.
I feel like I'd be very. I'm a man of the people.
You'd be a man of the people. Yeah, you'd be well liked. They'd carry you through the streets. But so she. It looks like she's like men in arms are taking her hostage.
It looks like she's being taken captive. Which,
I will save her. I will get you out.
If she is being taken captive in King's Landing, then you guys can connect the dots on what that may or may not mean.
Who kidnapped the Mad King? The Duskendales?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would be Ser Barristan the Bold, and I would climb
the Darklands. They're from
the Darklands. Okay, the Darklands. I would be Ser Barristan the Bold. I would climb the Red Keep, and I'd get Allison out.
I mean, it's not that easy. Probably
no. The Red Keep's probably a lot harder too. Yeah. The Darkland Castle, but.
It's funny that you mentioned Duskendale, because we're gonna talk about that in a little bit here.
And I didn't even do that on purpose.
And that leads us to the Cargill twins.
Yes.
So, This okay, I don't know. How many spoiler alerts are we gonna do here?
Listen to the episode, and just don't complain.
Okay, so book about 30 seconds here. So Eric and Arik Cargill are two members of the Kingsguard. Once the Blacks and the Greens broke off from one another, Arik stayed on the Greens. That's A-R-R-Y-K. And Eric, E-R-R-Y-K, went over to the Blacks.
Last season, he brought Viserys' crown.
Yes.
And he was the one who gave it to Daemon to, I think, crown Rhaenyra.
Correct. Yeah. Yep.
So.
And so, so there's a whole story here, and I won't spoil the exact details of the story, but in the trailer, we do see what looks like the Cargill twins dueling.
Yeah, it looks like
at an unknown location.
Something happens where they get in the same place, and it looks like a Clegane bowl 2.0, but it's a Cargill bowl. It's not a bowl. But they're going at it, and we, you know, no spoiler alert on who will win, and we'll find out together watching next season. But it's obviously. That, to me, plays up the whole Civil War thing, right? The whole brother against brother, house against house type mm-hmm. thing. Obviously, it's very apparent with the Targaryens, but even minor houses, even guys like the Cargills are having issues.
Other families do get split up as well.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, speaking of the Kingsguard, you know, we haven't seen or heard anything about Sir Harold Westerling.
Yeah, he just disappeared. He's just out. He's like, later.
I wonder if they do a Barristan Selmy with him where he comes back in like season 3.
I hope. I mean, it would be very odd if he was just able to just walk away from the whole thing.
Yeah, what? They were hanging everybody.
Yeah.
And Otto was like, give him time. Give him a breather. He'd be fine.
Let him figure it out.
Speaking of Otto, Hightower troops are obviously mobilizing. There's a great scene of a bunch of them marching with the green Hightower sigil.
Yes.
The sigils, I love them. I think it's such a cool thing. They are different sometimes, though, from the books, correct?
Yes, and I do think, have you ever seen, there's a, I'm forgetting the name of the account on Instagram, but there's a lady, I think she's on TikTok, too, that is a graphic designer, and she makes alternative logos for NFL teams.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
And she just, like, modernizes them. That's like what the show does from the books to
the show,
and I think it's super cool. But then also the Dreadfort sigil's way different in the books than it is in the show, and I think it looks cooler in the show. So, yeah, there's a lot of different changes. One thing that they are carrying over is the gold dragon of the greens.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So you'll be able to differentiate between Rhaenyra sigil and Aegon sigil in the show.
We saw a lot of that. They actually did a rap party recently, and Steve Toussaint, who plays Corlys, posted some pictures from it. And they had one of the green sigils, and they also had the Star of the Seven there. And they had, I think the composer was there, and they were like just blasting Game of Thrones tunes. It's pretty cool. Continuing on to that degree, talking about mobilization, Stokeworth and Rosby.
Yeah, so this is an interesting part here, because at the kickoff of the war, you have the Blacks very much outnumbered and overpowered by the Greens. The might of House Hightower alone is stronger than all the houses of the Blacks combined.
At this point.
However, the Valyrian fleet is the strongest in the Seven Kingdoms, so that's kind of the balance there, right?
Yeah.
Now, some of these smaller houses, like your Rosbys and Stokeworths, who, if you're a book reader, you know those names because they were ever present at court in King's Landing. On the show, they didn't quite make it on there. It looks like they're going to make an appearance in season 2 of House of the Dragon, which is one of the cooler parts, I think. We start seeing some new houses that we didn't see before. But these people that are just members at court all of a sudden now are forced to decide whether they want to support Rhaenyra's claim or Aegon's claim, which is, as we know, bogus anyways.
Again, just keep it down the middle.
And so we start seeing these smaller houses being affected in the same way, like you were saying. The Targaryens are being ripped apart, obviously. The Cargills, like some of these bigger names, but the smaller ones are also being ripped apart as well. And you start seeing sides flip and stuff, so it will be very cool. It looks like in the trailer, the Rosbys and the Stokeworths are on the sides of the Greens at that time, and that's just based on the sigils that we see.
Right.
When they're lined up. It does look like there are some battles that they're getting lined up on. In the trailer, it's difficult to tell if it's all one or if it's going to be multiple battles. There are a few that they can be based off of what we saw in the book Fire and Blood. The leading candidate is
Rook's Rest. Yeah, that's the one that everyone thinks it is. And mm-hmm. it would make sense just chronologically. Mm-hmm. And you talked about Rhaenyra's host right now being smaller than the Greens. But that's part of like... So are the Lannisters like immediately in it? Like they're with the Hightowers to rock? Because doesn't it take the Starks like forever to get involved?
Yes. Because it takes... Yeah,
but it, that makes sense. You gotta
go
though.
Up there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Right. They gotta gather their host and it takes forever. Right. Because it takes time to travel in Westeros. You might be confused because in season 7 and season 8 in Game of Thrones, everyone had a fucking jetpack. But no, yeah. It actually, you know, it's tough. You have to, like, go down the King's Road and stuff, and it's also a war-torn country, well, so they probably have to take even alternative
on,
routes.
Even on, so that's why Jace went on Dragonback, so that it'd be faster. It still is going
to
take
a Yeah, because he still has to gather his men from all of his houses, mm-hmm. get in the mix.
And if I remember correctly from how season 1 left off, he's making a stop at the Vale as well. Prior to going to Winterfell.
That's right. And just one more thing I wanted to say that you said that was so true is that, you know, I am a fan of the expansion, like all these houses. I've started reading the Game of Thrones books, and I'm reading the second one right now, Clash of Kings. And in it, George just goes into so much detail. He's listing the houses that are on Stannis' side, and there's a Valyrian there.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, you know, you didn't get that in Game of Thrones, and I never even heard of this house until House of the Dragon. And obviously their power's reduced at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
But still, it's like, oh my god, these dudes in the cut.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. We mentioned the Darklands of Duskendale, which we will see in season 2. Later on in the trailer, we see who appears to be a Bracken that's either in a duel or a fight. It's hard to pick out, because they cut off the sigil, like, right at the very top. But yeah. He was wearing, like, the red and brown
of the
Bracken, so that would be my guess.
Is he one of the lads?
He's on the opposite side.
Gotcha.
So my guess as to what that scene was the either the start or the end of the Battle of the Burning Mill, which was between the Brackens and the Black Woods.
Historically hate each other.
And we saw the little kid
killed the
Bracken at Storm's End.
Yeah, because he was ragging on him while he was spitting game at young Rhaenyra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd kill him too.
So that's a forever feud that's been going on.
That is a blood feud. There's a lot of like Rook's Rest stuff happening. We think like Kristen Cole's there, which like credit to him. The dude's leading the van.
Yeah,
it's risky.
I mean,
who would want to be a ground troop?
So
in this war.
There's a whole... We'll see it in season 2, but it's very intentional that Kristen Cole is just at the front. There's going to... Just watch it.
Honestly, that's the theme.
I don't even want to throw that in there because I think that's going to be one of the climaxes of the season, so we won't.
Yeah.
Do that.
It appears that Maelys is there, potentially, presumably. There's Dragonflame. Vhagar shows up. Good God! Good God Almighty! That's Aemon's music. Good God.
You know, it's and he looked massive in that trailer.
Yeah, his wings have so many holes in them. I kind of felt bad.
I mean, lots of battles.
So Vhagar was Balerion's like younger sibling type thing. Didn't Visenya? I think Visenya was on Vhagar. So Vhagar's old as shit.
Yeah. Who Visenya is one of the founding
members, one of the sisters.
Sister wives of Aegon the Conqueror.
Interesting.
So
of all of that, do we just not want to touch it at all? What do you think of that?
I think we leave Rook's Rest as a...
Don't even look at it.
We'll cover that when we get to it, but it is one of the more exciting parts of the entire story.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Color me excited.
And let's talk about some people we didn't see. So Jane Arryn.
Didn't see Jane Arryn. Didn't really see Jace.
We didn't really see Jace.
Alice Rivers.
We didn't see Alice Rivers.
Barely Corlys.
We didn't... Yeah, we saw one quick shot of Corlys. Didn't see Kraegen Stark.
Nope, barely Larys. They did confirm who's playing Kraegen Stark is an actor named Tom Taylor. You Google him and like an architect comes up. He's very underground. He's a young actor, a little older than Jace. He's in his young 20s. He's super blonde though, but I'm sure they give him that brunette wig. Yeah.
Brunette or like a silver even.
Yeah. Who else didn't we see? I mean, there's a lot of things we didn't. We didn't see Daeron Targaryen.
Yeah.
He's not, it's not happening, so quit asking.
Daeron is the other brother of Aemon and Aegon Targaryen on the green side.
Yeah, they're going to have to do some juggling to make that make sense.
Yeah, I'm not excited for that particularly.
No. We're allowed to enjoy the show and also judge it correctly. That's mm-hmm. what we do here. And
again, there's a proper avenue, I guess, to figure those things out. But to me, leaving Darren, I mean, they call him Darren the Daring. He was a pretty big part of the later story.
No, they're just trying to nerf the greens because the greens already fucking go so hard.
Good, nerf the greens.
Nerfing the greens. Yeah, so we didn't really see them a lot. Who else? I'm trying to think. I think that's pretty much sums it up.
We didn't see really any of the Triarchy. We didn't see the
Lannister. That's right. And Jason Lannister and Tywin Lannister? Tywin Lannister. Yeah. None of the Triarchy stuff. Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of that too. Mm-hmm. I feel like Otto is going to be scheming. And Dorne.
This was the teaser, right? So there could be a formal trailer in months to come that may have some more.
Yeah, there will be for sure. There will be a trailer by the time we're doing Westeros stories because they're going to have to release. They'll do the big trailer with the release date on it. Right now, this trailer ended with summer 2024. That's so vague; it can mean anything. But hopefully it means early summer for our sake.
Agreed.
Overall
takeaway.
Okay, I'll go first because I'm a more emotional reaction and you can be more pragmatic. Excited. Visually quite stunning. Mm-hmm. I'm just a whore for content and they gave it to us. So I'm excited about that. I think that Condal has proven himself to be pretty smart one season. No Miguel Sapochnik. This season, so it's just Condal running the show. They brought in a guy who did write some other Game of Thrones episodes to help him. I am very optimistic, cautiously so. I think there's a lot to be excited about right now. I said that like Biden for a second. I think there's a lot to be excited about right now. Because
and my dad said.
And my dad said, hey, Joe. But he... so because of Duncan Egg, like by the time we're recording the Westeros stories, we'll know who's playing Duncan, who's playing Egg. Like it'll be leaking. Radiant, well, and they're filming in the summer, so we have so much to be excited about. I want to really believe this is going to be great, but like you said, 8 episodes, a lot to happen in 8. And the thing is that, and this might sound like I'm trying to excuse it, but this moving fast in 8 episodes actually is more passable than Game of Thrones, because Game of Thrones had 5,000 loose ends.
Yeah.
This is sort of just like, it's war now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What, the Eastern Front, the Western Front, what's going on there? You know, it's like, it kind of makes more sense.
That's a great point.
So, yeah. But very optimistic. And very excited. Love the teaser. Condal has benefited the doubt from me until he loses it, in which case that's possible. And we're just very excited. Deep Thrones will be there for Duncan Egg. We'll be there for House of the Dragon. We're excited.
Yeah, so to kick things off, I'm just excited to be back recording too.
I know. Yes, so it's great to see you.
Hey, thanks, man. So that's first and foremost. My take on the teaser. Same. I'm excited. A lot of the reasons why I wanted House of the Dragon to be covered, or I guess more appropriately, the Dance of Dragons is the name of the event in total, to be covered on screen, is because of the events that are supposed to happen in season 2.
Yep.
And so, to me, the opportunity is there to just completely knock this out of the park. I think a lot of the people who haven't necessarily caught on to House of the Dragon and watched Game of Thrones, I think now's the time to get in, right? Especially in winter most of us are in cold states, right? Like, binge it, or, you know, you can watch weekend by weekend. You're not going to want to miss season 2. I can promise you that. There's going to be some pretty mind-blowing events that happen. Now, is there a path to them kind of cramming things and making it rushed? Yes, there is. Of course there is. However, like you said, Sheeds, we got to give Condal the benefit of the doubt until he doesn't deserve it.
Yeah.
Right? So from our perspective, we're excited. We're cautiously optimistic. But if things are played by the book, this is going to be, in my opinion, one of the best seasons of Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon together.
Right, yeah. And I want to just make this point really quick, too. Something that we've talked about, and I'm sure we mentioned it last year. But, no, maybe not. Duncan Egg, I don't think, didn't get picked up until this year. But Chris, when we did a season 8 wrap with Game of Thrones, I was like, what do you want to see? And we did this on the air. You can go back. And Chris said, he's like, I think that there are two slam dunks. Like they're gonna be George in an interview just said they have 8 prequels in the works, mm-hmm. or sequels, various things. Most of those will never see the light of day. But when we said on our pod, like, what would be easy slam dunks, Chris said The Dance of Dragons, which is what The House of the Dragon is, and Dungan Egg. And we're getting both of those, and we'll cover them. And that's the thing, too, that's exciting about 2024. Like, yeah, we'll have to do spring and summer, but luckily, season one of Dungan Egg is just 6 episodes, they're saying. So we'll be able to sort of, that'll be a good ease into House of the Dragon, mm-hmm. I feel like.
Yeah, and they're the selfishly good part for both of those projects is that the stories are completely told by George already. There's no Winds of Winter book out there still waiting to be released.
And they're so different.
They're so different. And Dungan Egg particularly is a very laser-focused story, so it's not going to be the big jump to the north and then to Dorne and across the Narrow Sea.
We're going
to
hop across that Narrow Sea.
Exactly. It's a much more granular story, so I think that will be... You'll be able to enjoy that in a different way than you were able to the Game of Thrones series.
And those of you out there who've been messaging us, being like, when are you guys doing it? When are you guys doing it? We're back. And at that point, for Dungan Egg and House of the Dragon back-to-back, you're going to have us in your ear holes all day long.
They're going to get sick of us in their ear holes.
You're going to be like, you guys need to stop it. I'm excited. And that's, great episode. Great episode of us. Great trailer for them.
So, yeah, we're excited. Thank you for joining us. This was meant to be a little teaser of an episode, but I think we went...
38, that's fine.
38 minutes, okay.
Yeah, they're going to be sad when it ends.
Perfect. Well, anything to add?
No, just Allison, hit me up. I'll save you any day of the week. Not to be messed with, tested, quizzed.